Launching a book isn't easy, but it can also launch you into a whole new life.
What's important now is that I am a best-selling author, and that's awesome.
I found my soul on this journey. I found my purpose, you know, in life.
In this show, I talk to authors about how they launched and how it took them to the next level. Hi there. You're listening to Launchpad Podcast, where I, your host, Anna David, interview New York Times bestselling authors, the world's most successful entrepreneurs, everyone who falls in between, about how to launch a bestselling book and what books have done for their careers. So today I have a friend. Well, we get into how I know her in the episode, so I will leave that as a, I will not spoil the surprise, but it's an interesting way I know her. No, we didn't meet in some like shady place, the opposite, as a matter of fact. So let me tell you about her. Her name is Rebecca Baruki, but she goes by Bex. And she is the founder of Bex Life and the Bliss in Wellness movement. She's a meditation guide. She's a doula. She's a mentor. She writes books. That's what's relevant for this conversation. Books for adults as well as for children. And about children, she's got 5 of them. And she has vacillated between traditional publishing and self-publishing. So we get into that. And we talk a lot about how her books have changed her career, how she went from a mother of 3 at that time on food stamps to this person with this thriving career and following, and what her book had to do with that. So if you'd like the show notes, and that includes a transcript of our conversation, just go to launchpadpub.com/blog/Bex, B-E-X. And it will have links to where you can reach her. She offers coaching for writers and a lot of things that I think you guys could benefit from. By the way, if you like this episode / this podcast, please throw a 5-star review up there. It makes such a difference, and it means more people will discover this podcast. And with that, I give you Bex. So Bex, it's so good to see you.
Isn't it? I'm adorable.
Yeah, you are. You really, really are.
Don't let anyone hear that.
Well, they all did, and they're all judging you for it. But you guys, she's kind of telling the truth. So she's just owning it, right? Which we should all be doing. And so Bex and I know each other from, like, I would say I've not had another guest on this podcast that I know that I know from this. So how do we know each other? Let's talk about that.
We were bus mates in Israel, was the best trip ever. Best.
Who can say that about anybody? Bus mates. And so the way it worked, was it 2 years ago? 3 years ago? I don't know.
I have no idea.
It was not last year.
It was 17 years ago.
Yeah.
Because that's what it feels like.
I know. It really does. So we were on this trip to Israel for people who worked in wellness. And I was just totally drawn to you from the beginning. At first, when I was like, oh, this chick's got 5 kids. What am I going to have to say to her? And then I was wrong. I had so much to say to you that I had to sit next to you every day.
I'll tell you, I don't hang out with women who have 5 kids because they're mostly just miserable. Like, I don't want to know those women. I mean, some of them are okay. No, I don't hang out with anybody that has 5 kids.
But since then, I've met other women with 5 children, which is weird.
Yeah.
And they're pretty cool too. So,
really?
Yeah. Maybe I've met the only ones. Yeah. It's possible.
I need friends.
So I see how you may not have time for friends when I look at what you have been up to since we last spoke. So you are not merely an author. In fact, you didn't start off as an author at all. So tell listeners about the trajectory of your career.
Well, career-wise, I started off as a personal trainer, and I was doing fitness to help with my mental illness because I didn't want to go on medication. That was a personal thing of mine. I needed community because of that. I went on YouTube back in the dark ages. I think I was one of maybe 10 people on all of YouTube in the world doing fitness. It was super, it was like me, Cassie Ho from Blogilates, Tara Styles, the Tone It Up girls, Sarah Dusso. So we're doing fitness. Did that for a while, integrated my yoga practice, integrated my meditation practice, did a TV show, got a book deal, got another book deal, started an indie publishing company. Had two more babies. The trajectory has been all over the place. Definitely not linear. I'm just having lots and lots and lots of fun. It's all about, though, sharing my story. It's all about that.
I mean, preaching to the choir here.
Yeah.
So, but what was interesting, I remember on the bus, you telling me the story about you had read Chris Carr's book. Mm-hmm. And you went to a Hay House seminar?
I Can Do It. I was talking about this today on my live. Yeah. I was camping out. I didn't go to an I Can Do It. I went to an I Can Do It to stalk authors coming out of the green room and and interviewed them for my YouTube channel. That's yes. What I did.
So for people who don't know, what is an I Can Do It?
I Can Do It. It was a gathering of, they're like top authors. They would have a tour. They talk about whatever their area of expertise was. It was kind of a showcase. It was super great. Wayne Dyer was usually the headliner. So after he passed, it kind of sputtered out. So they don't have those anymore. They have more focused workshops and events where it just features like one or two authors. I do the writing workshops where my proposal is given out to my proposal for my first book, You Have 4 Minutes to Change Your Life, is given out to the attendees, and then I speak there.
But for Hay House authors, right?
Just for Hay House authors.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So for anyone who doesn't know, Hay House is it's mostly self-help and spiritual publishing company.
Yeah. And everything from like wellness to angel card readers and
so
all the crazy people.
And so, but it was Chris Carr in particular who opened your eyes to Hay House's existence and got you to do that. Yeah.
Yeah, Chris Carr and Wayne Dyer, two different tracks, and kind of converged. And I was like, oh, wait a minute, they're with the same publisher? And I didn't know anything about publishing. I certainly didn't have any understanding of what Hay House was specifically, like a publisher that actually has a fan base where like the customers will follow one author and then start following all the rest. But I had no understanding of how that worked. It felt kind of like a cult, which is always appealing to me, which absolutely. I generally say, but I watch a lot of cult documentaries and I'm like, I can do this, but do it better. But it felt like a community, which it actually is. But Chris Carr, she was one that I loved. I found her on Oprah when I was in the midst of a really, really terrible, painful divorce. And she was talking about, you know, living with cancer. And I was like, I'm not even dying, so I can probably do something about this. So she was my inspiration to start. I went out and got a real estate license. I left my husband. I don't think I've ever told her that. I should probably. I'll tell my ex-husband so he can be mad at her instead.
Yeah.
Instead of me.
I literally thought you just said my next husband. I'm like, there's no.
No, this one's here to stay.
Yeah, he's a keeper. So you met her that day that you showed up?
I met her that day that I showed up. I did a 4-minute, my shtick. Was along with 4-minute meditations. I do these 4-minute interviews. So I did that with her. And then later, I think the next year, I attended a writer's workshop where she was one of the keynote speakers. And I stood up to ask a question. And she said to everybody in the room, which is super awesome, because there's like 500 people there, this girl right here, she sparkles. You need to follow her. When I stood up and I was like, what? And then, and then it really... You know, that little bit of, I'll say it's like, it's luck, it's opportunity, it's me like showing up and asking for it and all that. But that was really something that gave me such instant credibility in terms of being seen, that from then on, having that seal of approval from Chris Carr, people wanted to work with me. So that was cool. That was really cool.
Yeah. And I think that people should remember, once we've gotten to a certain place, the power that can have. When you just, absolutely. You just, I mean, it was easy. It's so generous. It says so much about her that she would just do that. Mm-hmm. And so just because, you know, many of the listeners are aspiring authors. So what happens from there? So you're at a writing workshop. She says you sparkle. People should follow you. What happened next?
So what happened next is I continued to develop the book that I went there to write. It was called Accidental White Girl. It was about me being biracial, my mother white, my father black, being the product of an extramarital affair, and writing from this place of deep hurt, deep self-exploration. And I just started, you know, doing more workshops and networking and doing it in a really organic way and just trying to like follow the flow of this is the next right step. This is the next right person to talk to. And my mother passed away in November of that year. So my father died in April. I went to the workshop in May. And then my mother died in November, lost both parents in the same year. I'll say the dad who raised me, not my biological father. And when that happened, there's so many things. But when that happened, she had a stroke and I had to go down to North Carolina to be with her in the hospital. And it just so happened that I had a call with an agent, a literary agent, while she was in the hospital.
Wow.
And I'm telling her about the book and just something felt really not, it just wasn't resonating like it had been before. I wasn't excited about it like I was before. I mean, a lot of things were going on. My mother was dying. And then that moment that she passed, it was like this revelation. Not that I'm thinking about my career when my mother's like leaving Earth, but the anger kind of just went away. And it was revealed to me very shortly after that that just wasn't the story I wanted to tell anymore, or just wasn't the right time to tell it. Kept working with an agent and we developed my meditation book instead. So, you know, it's like, it's hard when I'm talking to aspiring authors, and I do that a lot in my own work, because people say like, how did you get here? How did it happen? How did you get inspired? What was this next step? And look, I got coaches. I surrounded myself with awesome people. I showed up everywhere. I put myself in really like scary situations where I just felt like not enough. I don't belong here. Like I did that a lot. I developed really amazing friendships. I kept telling my story to everybody, right? And like telling people like, I want to write a book one day. I want to do this one day. And people will get excited with me. I built community and I just kept sharing. And it was like, it was almost as if I've been developing my book since I was a little kid, or developing all my books. Because I would see what people resonated with, what people wanted to hear more about, what people were excited to hear about. And that's what's gone in. I have 3 books for adults and 2 books for kids now, 1 on the way. And it's all that. It's all of that. It's all of that. I don't know if any of that made sense or was helpful, but
because I think that you know, the New York Times says 81% of people want to write a book. And I think something like,
I should have more clients. What's going on?
I know. It's how my company stays so busy. It's, but it's getting the message that I think people think it's harder and easier than it is, because they think, well, everyone says I'm a good writer. I can just write this, and they don't really know what goes into it. Right. And then they think that the platform part is insurmountable. And you and I are both proof that that's just not true.
No.
Would you say anybody could build a platform?
I don't think that anybody could do like anything. You know, it takes commitment. It takes consistency. It takes desire. But if you have those things, and of course, like, you're the cool person. Actually, a lot of assholes have platforms too. But if you have those things, then yeah, anybody can build a platform. I think that it's tenacity. It's showing up. It's being consistent. I've been doing this for 12 years. I do not have a gigantic platform. I make really good money and I have a lot of success. Right. And it's because I'm dependable. I'm consistent. I'm there for people. I'm there. I'm showing up. So yeah, anyone, if you have those things, if you're willing to do the work, anyone can have a platform. Just like if you're willing to do the work, you could write a book.
Right. Right.
100%.
How much writing experience did you have when you wrote your book, your first book?
No professional writing experience outside of my blogs. And really, I didn't love to write. I have a learning disability. So it wasn't until last year and I got on a proper medication plan that I was even able to read books. So yeah, I had only listened to audiobooks my whole life. It was a very painful experience for me to read. I was a great student, but I was just like working. I was just working so hard. So I would write blogs. I didn't love it. Video was really my, the way that I love to communicate. A lot of my book are my videos. I had them transcribed and I would, and then I'd go back in and edit and look. I drew from all types of content to write my book. In fact, the first book is really a 21-day email newsletter mantra challenge. I mean, it's much more than that, but that was the basic outline for it. So yeah, I didn't have professional writing experience, and I really wasn't someone, because of my learning disability, that felt that I was capable of writing a book. I felt stupid and not qualified.
Well, and I think that's such a good lesson too, because people can have it. I'm stupid. I don't have the degree. I'm too young. I'm too old. I have ADD. Well, guess what? I have ADD too. Mm-hmm. So there are so many reasons. And I'm glad you mentioned, you know, one of our offerings is actually a current content book where we'll create a book out of your emails, out of your podcasts, out of your videos, out of your courses. Because people are content machines. All entrepreneurs are content machines now. They've got the material. It's just sitting there. And it could be a book that could change their career.
I tell people that all the time. You have the book. You have the book. You might not have the skill to put it together in an outline. You might not know the stories that are going to hit the reader the most. You might not have, that's what a great editor was for. And I'll tell you, the process of working with an editor and working with someone to develop the outline for my first book, I treated it like school. I was like, I'm here to get an education. And I became a writer through that process. So my second book, I wrote the book, of course, gave it to an editor at the end because, I mean, everybody needs an editor. Everybody needs an editor. But I learned to be a writer. And now I have a ton of confidence when it comes to writing. A ton. Still hate to read. Still hate reading. But I love writing.
Well, I only listen now. So listening to a book is the same goddamn thing as reading it. Okay.
What are you listening to right now? Can I ask you?
Yeah, I actually, okay. Well, I listened to, You Need to Talk to Someone, Lori Gottlieb, previous podcast guest, amazing. And then, oh my God, I went into I don't normally read novels, but I read the My Dark Vanessa.
Okay.
These are two books you would love, personally.
Okay.
I don't know about the listeners, but you would. And then I kind of went into like a little trashy gossipy one, and I read My Friend Anna about the heiress, the fake heiress, and the best friend she screwed over. It was good. Not particularly well written, but real juicy. And you know what I just, this is embarrassing. Just today, I downloaded my first Glennon Doyle book.
Oh.
The reason I did that is I have nothing but judgment that comes from insecurity about ridiculously successful authors who were like, quote, not writers. So I have judged her for years and been like, oh, no, I don't read books like that. Most of my clients come to me and say, I want to be like Glennon Doyle. And last night I was at my friend's house and she said, no, you would actually really like her. And I decided that for my client's sake, I will listen to this book. But is it a mistake? I haven't started.
Which one are you listening to?
The recent one.
Oh, Untamed?
Yeah.
I'm reserving judgment, even though you can see my face right now. My face never lies.
Yeah.
I did like Love Warrior. I think that's what it was. I did find that it was a good listen. I like listening to it. But I'm like, that's just not my deal. I'm not like self-help. I'm not like women empowerment in terms of like what I listen to. In real life, I am, obviously. But I listen to a lot of like historical fiction and social justice, racial justice stuff. I'm listening to YA right now. Hmm. I didn't know how sexually explicit those books can get.
Hi, didn't you grow up reading Judy Blume?
Yeah, but that was, I'm actually taking a Judy Blume course right now.
With her?
Not with her. Like in a master class or whatever. And then she speaks for the Society of Children's Book Writers and Illustrators. And, you know, I want to say this though, so the people listening, it's another part of, you know, being a good writer, but then also just getting inspired to write new material. Like I just started the children's book thing a couple years ago and I'm loving it so much. I feel like I'm home. I'm constantly learning. Like education every day. Every day I'm listening to something, watching something. And Judy Blume is, oh my gosh, she's 85 million books.
She's
85 million books. She's amazing.
Well, and I think that's a really good point. This, you know, I didn't go to graduate school and I treat my business as graduate school. I treat marketing.
I didn't go to my senior year of high school.
Okay, so you had four years to educate yourself. Look at that. But my parents were desperate for me to go to graduate school. And I personally believe that I know a lot of MFAs who are very much out of work. And mm-hmm. I know college graduates who are out of work. And
my daughter.
Mm-hmm. Your daughter's, so your kids range, I don't want to get off track, but your kids range in age from what to what?
22 to 5.
Look at that.
Yeah. That's a busy Look at that. Girl.
Busy, yeah. Busy womb.
I don't learn.
You know what?
I don't learn my lesson.
Except with writing. That's where you learn.
Yes.
And so I want to talk about all the things that you offer. Well, first of all, you don't illustrate your own children's books.
I do not. No.
Okay. But you do have offerings that are illustrations. Did you do those?
Do I have offerings that are illustrations? Oh, like my bliss notes?
Yeah.
Yeah,
the coloring things. You draw
yeah.
them?
Yes. Uh-huh. I do everything. I do everything. I do website design, graphic design, design my own PDFs. I do everything. And that's not because it's a smart thing to do. It's because when I started this business, I was a single mother of three on food stamps.
Right.
And it was learn. And I've actually been developing websites since 1998 when my first daughter was born. And I had a blog on, which wasn't called a blog then, it was like an online journal on Girl Pages that was sponsored by Sassy Magazine. So I was a teen mom. So I had this online blog. And yeah. So I've been doing it forever. But I learned to do everything myself because I had to, so out of necessity. So a lot of my creative process and the things that I offer are either talents and interests of mine that I've monetized. But for this year, like, I'm not illustrating my own children's book. That would just be, maybe next year.
That would be more insane than you actually are.
Just check in with me.
Yeah. Who knows? Who knows? So I thought you were going to say the reason you do it all yourself is that it's like you like having control over
that
it.
That too.
Yeah.
That too. Mm-hmm.
And so since you've both self-published and done traditional publishing, do you want to talk about the different experiences you had with each?
Well, okay. So I love being published. I love my publisher. I love not having to deal with printing and you know, all the logistics of it. And through self-publishing, I also love dealing with the printing and all the logistics of it. But the reason that I self-publish, well, first of all, I love to learn. I love learning that part of the business. I actually really love being behind the scenes, even though people see me speaking live and like always out there performing. I love the behind the scenes stuff. And with the books that I was creating, my series is called the Big Messy Book Series. It's Zara's Big Messy Day, Zara's Big Messy Bedtime, and the next one, Zara's Big Messy Playdate. It was really important to me to present this little girl that's very autobiographical. She's 7 years old. She's biracial. She has anxiety. She deals with big, messy emotions. I needed the black characters to look black. I needed the story to be presented in a way that wouldn't be censored by a mainstream publisher. There's, even though children's publishing is very progressive, maybe the most progressive part of the industry, there's still so far to go. And so I knew that I wanted to create something very true to the kids that would be reading it, really represent the different cultures. Ooh, it's a thunderstorm happening over here. It's like crazy over here on the East Coast. But so I wanted to go the self-publishing route. I didn't want to wait. Mm-hmm. And I've loved that experience. And I'm actually having, I don't believe in jinxing it. I'm a master manifester. I'm having a meeting right after we get off this call, immediately after this call, about possibly being acquired, partnering.
Oh, the whole series.
The whole publishing house. My Wheat Penny Press Publishing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So there's, yeah, it's been an interesting journey, but I do like having control. I do like having control about the things that are important.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So
let's talk about what you teach. I mm-hmm. saw something that I know I could refer a ton of people to, that you basically have a 3-tier offering to get people started with their books. So let's talk about what that is.
So I used to have a life coaching, group coaching program called Blocked to Bliss, and now I have Blocked to Book. So it's really for, we get into how to write a book, how to create an outline, how to pitch, how to find an agent, or how to self-publish, but the meat of it really is about pulling the story out of you, telling it in a way that's not only, that feels true and right to you and easy for you to talk about, but also marketable to other people, right? And something that you can build a platform upon. So it's the whole thing. It's platform, it's getting the story out, it's getting it down on paper. It's really fun in a group atmosphere. I attract mostly people who are interested in either children's book or self-help, what I do. Mm-hmm. But it's a beautiful, soulful experience because I do integrate a lot of my experience as a spiritual wellness teacher, as a meditation teacher, as someone who practices mindfulness every single day of her life and personal development. Mm-hmm. So yeah, Block to Book is awesome. There's a group element and then there's two tiers of one-on-one coaching.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Almost full. I don't know when this is coming out, but catch me next time.
But is there a direct link if people want to, or should they just go to your website?
They can go to my website and it's right up at the top, Blocked to Book, or you can just go blockedtobook.com.
Mm-hmm. And her website is bexlife.com, B-E-X, because that's what she goes by, which yeah. I didn't know the whole time on the bus. I think you were Rebecca.
I am Rebecca.
but what's also great, I think, is that trip, we didn't know what anybody really did for a living. So yeah. I remember it was day 6 or something. We're sitting on the bus and you start telling me you're an author too. And I'm like, yeah. You are?
Yeah. Thank God we didn't know, because I'll tell you, I actually had a very tearful moment. It was like the third or fourth day when I got the book with all of our bios in it. I guess we had it, but I hadn't looked at it. And I'm just seeing all these super impressive, illustrious resumes. And I'm like, why am I here? So I broke down a little bit. I was still dealing. I mean, still like I am today dealing with some imposter syndrome that I have to work through. So that was rough.
I remember you telling me about it and I'm like, what are you talking about? You so belong here. And
you know the deal.
I have plenty of issues. I do not have imposter syndrome.
Really? Mm-mm. Can you coach me? How does that happen?
But I think it comes from, I've worked so hard to get where I am.
Yeah.
I would say I've gotten little breaks along the way, but mm-hmm. nobody could accuse me of like getting there in an easy way. And I know
yeah.
that.
Yeah. I think what happened with me is that I came into this work and I always say this too, I compare it to motherhood. I'm so glad that I had children before social media existed. Because I didn't have that comparison. I could kind of like just mess up and try new things. And there was nothing to compare it to at all, except my other teen mom girlfriends who were having kids and, you know, hanging out with me behind Toys R Us, smoking cigarettes and stealing Desitin diaper ointment. Like, that's what we did. Like, we didn't know. So now it's, even having my fourth kid on social media, I felt like inadequate. I've been raising successfully these three beautiful children and I felt inadequate and like I was doing the wrong thing and I didn't know anything about motherhood. But, with career, I came in with all the audacity of like a fresh, young, excited person, eager to like share her story with the world and change the world. And then I started walking into a lot of rooms where nobody looked like me. Nobody talked like me. Nobody definitely didn't have the education background that I did. Didn't have a bunch of kids. And like, you know, I had three kids by the time I was 25. But when I entered this business, I was 28. So I felt like I belonged at first, but then I realized what was successful or what was being propped up and centered. And I think this happens for a lot of people of color in this industry, especially Black women in this industry. It just doesn't feel like it's for you. So then you feel like you can't provide something. That has changed. I've been affirmed of the opposite over the years, but I still get that little hang of like, am I supposed to be here? I mean, I went to a Hay House Writers Workshop, a mastermind, a couple of years ago, and it really spawned this big rift between me and my publisher and a whole series of things, but it's all good now because they have a whole program that I'm mentoring in for, it's called Diverse Wisdom, and it's really exciting bringing in Black and Brown authors. But I walked into a room of 75 people and I was the brownest person in the room. And people can't see me. I'm what you would call sometimes white presenting. I'm very, very light. I'm not obviously black. I'm ambiguous, you know, in my ethnicity. So that's a problem. If I'm the brownest person in the room, it's like, what is happening here?
Was it a room of albinos?
Practically.
Yeah.
It was like Gabby Bernstein and everyone who looks like Gabby Bernstein.
Right. So this has been a delight and a half. What is there anything else you want to tell aspiring authors or current authors about launching their books and what a book can do for your career?
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, I'll tell you this. This will wrap it up. I had 5 children. I passed 5 people through my vaginal canal. Like, that's legit. And people were not hiring me or asking me to speak on motherhood until I had a book about it. My book is called Managing the Motherhood. It was my second book with Hay House. And all of a sudden, after 21 years and 5 children, I was suddenly an expert. And it created a whole new layer to an already really successful career that I could not have anticipated, and has also increased my credibility in all areas because the opportunities that I got from that put me on bigger stages. And yeah, so a book really makes whatever you're doing legit. Legit.
What a note to end on. Becky, thank you so much. You guys,
sorry.
What's that?
I said vagina, sorry.
Oh, I wish you'd said it a few more times. I was, as you were saying the sentence, I'm like, I hope she says vagina and not birth canal. And if anyone is offended, I'm so sorry. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you, Bex. I'll see you next week.